Welcome to the Butts and Seats podcast, episode number 107.
That 110 marker is creeping up real fast.
Yeah.
I'm not looking forward to it. I'm still traumatized by the 100.
I'm Nick alongside Emily.
I'm here.
Emily, how you doing today?
I'm here.
You at least sound better than last episode.
What was wrong with last episode?
That's the big echo one. Yeah, sorry about that, guys.
Yeah, you know, you'd think that after 106 episodes, we would know what the fuck we're doing. We don't.
Yeah,
there's always something.
Well, admittedly, I like moved my mic so Otto could sit next to me. He's now just staring at me. And when I did that, it screwed up everything. So,
yay! There's never not an issue in the world of these freaking microphones. I don't honestly know if it's the microphones or if it's the headphones or if it's the fact that we're still using Audacity after all this time.
I honestly think Audacity's the safest one here.
You think so?
It's partially my computer that I got secondhand from work, because different USB ports I plug it into, the microphone is a vastly different level.
Hello. Oh no, you're being conquered.
He's so ruthless.
So we have called it whenever our dog jumps on us for like attention, he'll jump on our shoulders or our back, or Nick's back really. We call it conquering. And his name is Otto. So it's like he's the Ottoman Empire. He's just conquering everything. He's pretty ruthless though. Killing a raccoon right now.
A raccoon toy, we should say. We now just bring in a raccoon, like, get him.
Yeah, we just have a raccoon corpse. So we apologize for any little snarls or squeaks that you might hear. Bear with us.
So Emily, I think we haven't actually said it in a little while. What is it we do here?
Oh my god, we haven't said this in a while. We definitely haven't said it since like episode 100.
Yeah.
Well, Nick, we take a week-by-week look at the slow but inevitable downfall of WCW through the late 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, that pretty much says it.
That's it. That's what we do. That's what we've been doing for 106 episodes, and we got 106 more.
Yeah, we'll see how many. People are finally starting to be like, what are you doing after? But we got so much time. We have so much time, assuming we just do the pay-per-views for the Invasion, let alone the Ross.
I would not put that past you.
That's going to be a group decision.
It's not going to be a group. It's not going to be a group decision. Even Otto is like not a fan. It's going to be a Nick decision. It's going to be Emily, really, let's like talk about the Invasion and tell me how much you remember from it. And you're going to realize how little it is, as you have been realizing. And it's going to be we're doing the Invasion. You've said as much.
So I think basically what you're saying is I'm going to do another quiz at the end of this.
Yep. Yeah, and I'm going to fail that quiz, and it's going to be another moment of us recording and me making you stop the recording and looking at you like, Nick, stop making me look like an idiot. And you'd be like, no, Emily, you look fine. You're not supposed to know all this bullshit.
Emily, who was the stalker?
I don't want to talk about it.
Or actually, I think it would be, you know, DDP's the stalker. What was Undertaker's wife's name? Do you remember?
I want to say Lori, but I feel like that's wrong.
No, Lori is Sandman's wife.
Yeah. Sarah.
Yes.
It's Sarah. I knew it was four letters. That's what was getting me.
Yeah, four letters right across the neck.
I was like, what does that say?
So, Emily, today we're back in the world of WCW doing Nitro. Yeah, I think I looked at the end of this and went, this was a bad show, but it was watchable.
And somehow that is like the kindest thing we can say about WCW these days.
Yeah, you've not talked about wanting to quit again for a little while. So
it has been a minute. We'll see how this episode goes.
So today we're talking about the May 15th, 2000 WCW Monday Nitro, live from Biloxi, Mississippi.
Biloxi.
So this show did a little better than last week. You got a 3.1, so we're back above the 3.
That's not bad.
Yeah. There's a lot of gimmick matches on this, so it might be a little bit of that.
Do you think that bumps up ratings?
That leans into Vince Russo's like, oh shit, I don't want to turn this off. What the fuck's going to happen next?
I mean, it does and it doesn't. Like, that's definitely the mentality that he has about it, but I don't know if that's actually, like, working.
I was reminded yesterday that we do own Vince Russo's book, and I'm like, okay, once he's gone, I think he's gone after, like, Halloween Havoc, so okay. There'll be a little bit of time. But
you bought this book so long ago, like a year and a half ago at this point, and I have wanted to read it since it came in the house, and you're like, no, don't touch it. Like, come on, man.
Well, I intended to read it, and then half the chapters are about Jesus, and I'm just like,
Oh, it's religious?
So, Emily, before we get into the backstage notes, I do have a little gift for you.
A present?
Yeah, the track record's been interesting on the presents on this show.
What are you talking about? Scott Norton is looking down on me as we speak.
Okay, I also need to sell out Emily for a second.
Shut the fuck up.
I put on Halloween Havoc 1998. I just wanted to watch the Hogan Warrior match again. And they threw to a clip from Nitro. And Emily looks at one of these guys and goes, who is that? It's fucking Scott Norton.
Never seen this man before.
Or no, you asked who somebody else was, and I thought you meant Scott Norton. You're like, wait, which one's Scott Norton? But Emily, here you go.
Is this a Scott Norton tank top? I swear to God.
It is not a Scott Norton tank top.
No fucking way!
Emily, tell the listeners.
Oh my God, it's a Surge tank top.
Surge watch.
No way. Why do they sell this?
I don't know, but Hot Topic sells it.
Why? It's Coca-Cola branded. It's not even WWE branded. I'm shocked. WCW did more for the Surge brand than anything else.
Yeah, but they didn't own Surge.
Oh my God, Surge. And now it's always Surge watch.
I did try to see if anyone was actually selling it, and they are for astronomical prices. And then, like, one energy drink company is, like, made Urge, like, under, like, the same...
I've had Surge. I don't remember liking it. I remember thinking, no, that's a soda.
So, let's get into the backstage notes before the show. There's basically just two.
Okay.
One directly relates to this show, and that is Buff Bagwell has been suspended for 30 days.
That's barely even a backstage note, because they mentioned that in the actual show.
Yes, but this is a shoot suspension. This is not like a kayfabe one.
So tell me again what he did.
So, for some reason, Buff Bagwell and Lex Luger and Liz were talking backstage. Crew member was holding some sort of carpet or rug or whatever and needed to get through the door they were like standing in front of. Buff Bagwell was like, we're conducting business. Fuck off. So, there were some words were shared. And then Buff Bagwell punched the guy in the neck.
In the neck?
In the neck.
Oh, no.
So, he suspended. When interviewed by the cops, both Lex and Liz were like, I didn't say anything.
Wow. Never seen this man before in my life.
Yeah, so Buff will be out for 30 days. We'll see if they actually hold that. And then our other note is about a romance backstage.
Ooh, who's fucking?
David Flair and Stacy Keibler.
Oh, yes, you did tell me this happens at some point.
Why?
What does David Flair have going on that got him to pull Stacy Keibler?
I don't
know. Is it charisma? Is it, like, charm?
No.
Is it something else? Like, what does he have? Good for him. I mean, good for him. Not so much good for her. She can and does do better. But yes. Good for him.
David Flair and George Clooney are Eskimo brothers.
Yeah, huh? That's what blows my mind. Like, I know she ends up with George Clooney at some point. How? How do you go from David Flair to George Clooney?
But that's kind of it. There's some stuff from Thunder, but I think that'll be more appropriate for our next episode.
Okay.
So let's get into this show. It starts with a random Sting and Vampiro video package. Like, just them.
Which, like, does this really come back into play in the episode?
I mean, I guess it's setting up the first match.
But this is in the spot of the show where it's like, here's what you missed on Nitro. It's not really a spot for a promo, like, for a match setup.
Yeah.
Especially that quickly.
It was weird that it happened before the, like, Nitro opening, because they don't even do the full Nitro opening. They just do, like, all right, little graphic, pyro, and we see there's a cage around the ring. Because our opening match is a House of Pain match. It's Sting versus Vampiro. And I'm like, why are we doing this on Nitro? Because Vampiro wanted all the little stingers to see. In reality, they're just panicking about ratings.
What are the little stingers? That's never been anything that we've, like, said before.
It's just fans. I don't know, man.
The little stingers makes it sound like children.
Yes. I think he wants all the Sting's children fans to see Sting get beat up.
Oh, I did discover that I have an ick in this company.
Oh.
Very specifically, it is little girls in dresses wearing the Sting mask.
Okay.
There is one little girl in the show who's wearing a very cute little pink dress about, I guess, like, halfway through the show. And she's on the hard cam side wearing the full face Sting mask. It's like something out of a nightmare. It looks like the Charlie Brown Halloween episode. I can't remember which character it is, but they're like walking around with the costume and she's just got like the big like witch mask on or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's very that reminiscent.
I got annoyed again by something on Thunder because it's just the reminder that it is a choice because... They start doing a ring introduction, and it goes something like, ladies and gentlemen, they actively fade down Dave Penzer, and I'm like, I can literally hear it. I'm like,
I don't even try to listen for the ring announcer anymore. Like, I know that it's just going to be a garbled mess, so I don't even try.
Yeah, so this is a House of Pain match, which I feel like is occasionally one slightly more advanced, because basically it's a, you need to handcuff your opponent to the cage to win.
Yeah, but you were saying it, in some cases is all four limbs.
Yeah, because they've done this before. It was like a tag team match. I want to say Perry Saturn was in there. This but I'm like trying to remember whether or not, was that part of the match, or was that like, we're going to do a post-match beatdown and tie you all the way up? Or do they have the realization after last time that it's like, okay, if you get the hands, they can't get out.
But if they get the feet, you can do whatever you want to them.
I mean, at least in the other one, it was a tag team match. So, like, hypothetically, you could get saved by your partner and yeah. as opposed to just like, yep, that's it.
Yeah.
So the match actually starts when Sting climbs on top of the cage and then, like, smashes one of the, like, square sections in.
Yeah.
Like, but the door was right there. You could have just... Right?
Like, why are we doing this?
To set up things for later.
I guess, yeah.
He then hangs down to kick Vampiro a few times. Stinger splash, face buster. Vampiro suddenly gets on offense and throws Sting into the cage and then hits a back suplex. Spin kick from Vampiro and then hits strikes in the corner. Like, it gets a little dull here when Vampiro's on offense.
Yeah, I think they were really expecting that entrance to hold more attention and, like, garner more worth, I guess. I don't know. They wanted that entrance to be more like, oh, this is cool. I want to watch this.
Yeah, I think you needed Vampiro to, like, I don't know, you needed him to, like, hiding or something. It was just like, okay, he didn't use the door.
Yeah.
Okay, cool. We get a snap suplex and a leg drop. More strikes from Vampiro, including a spinning sidekick. Vampiro then tries for a diving Hurricane Rana, but Sting counters that into a powerbomb, and Sting starts to come back, throws Vampiro into the cage. Sting just handcuffs Vampiro to the cage and wins. Like, oh.
It was a very quick ending.
I thought it was going to be like a near fall. Like, he gets one on, and then it's like, yeah, oh, no.
And then it'd be like a fight or something.
He just keeps beating down Vampiro a little bit and then just leaves. Which... they then go to raise the cage, and you can kind of see that Vampiro is clearly not attached anymore, but he's still holding on.
You're meant to believe that he's being lifted with the cage.
Yes.
Like, on the handcuffs. That's not what's happening.
And then the lights go out. Like, kinda. Like, they go out in the ring area, but, like...
but not everywhere, not still the whole fully arena. Lit.
And then we cut back to the ring, and it's like... he's gone!
Oh my god, where did he go?
This was fucking lame.
They wanted it to be cool. They're like... they had all the pieces for it to, I guess, kind of be cool. It just didn't deliver.
But why does Vampiro... I mean, okay. I was going to say, why does Vampiro need to be spooky?
That's his whole character.
But, like, he's not, like, supernatural spooky.
He's just, like, weird spooky.
Yeah, he's edgy high school spooky.
Yeah? What the fuck is that noise?
My parents don't get me, man.
Is that a phase, Mom?
Yeah.
I never heard the sigh that accompanies that vibe, though.
Am I wrong, though?
No, but it's just an odd sound.
This feud won't fucking end.
Never.
Backstage, Shane Douglas is looking very naked and attacks an arriving Brian Clark. Or just naked from the waist down. His t-shirt's a little too long.
He's Pooh Baron.
And as they're going to commercial, we just hear, oh my god, is that Goldberg's monster truck?
Oh, yeah, so we're not selling this well enough. This all happened very quickly.
Yes.
Where the match ended, we cut to Shane Douglas beating down Brian Clark half naked, and then, oh my god, is that Goldberg? This all happened in like 20 seconds.
By the way, I guess we didn't note it. It is Tony Schiavone, Mark Madden, and Scott Hudson on
commentary. It's always these three. Yeah. But yeah, that all happened in a 20-second span. It all happened very, very quickly. So when we cut to commercial with, oh my god, is that Goldberg? We both had to, like, stop and look at each other, like, what?
Both of us, like, was that Goldberg?
Yeah, we had to stop and go back because it's just, like, looming. It, like, creeps into frame.
Okay, that actually is one bit of thunder I want to mention now.
Okay.
So the Goldberg monster truck just keeps showing up. It shows up on Thunder, and they, like, accidentally zoom in a little too close on, like, the cockpit.
The cockpit of the car?
Yeah. On the driver's seat. And they're like, it's got to be Goldberg. Who else could it be? And it's like, it's very clearly not Goldberg. Like, I don't know who the fuck it is.
It's like a tall, scrawny kid.
It's the guy who owns the monster truck. Yeah. They show that shot and then they speculate. I'm like, guys, just, I don't know.
Guys, it's not Goldberg. Didn't they do that with the White Hummer in WWE? Where we saw like a glimpse of somebody in there and then they're like, oh, it was me as Rikishi. And I'm like, that was not fucking Rikishi in there.
Okay, it wasn't the White Hummer. White Hummer's WCW.
What am I thinking of?
You're thinking of who ran over Steve Austin.
Yeah, but wasn't that not a Hummer?
It was The Rock's rental car, but it wasn't a Hummer.
I thought it was like a big...
no, it was something you could roll over easily. It was not a bigger car.
Oh, okay. Wow, I don't remember.
Because the one stuntman takes it like a fucking champ.
I am combining storylines because I cannot remember that car as anything other than the White Hummer.
Backstage, the Misfits in action officially get their new names.
Ugh.
They're also wearing FUBAR shirts.
In another world, this would have been my best bit. It's faffy, it's stupid, it's ridiculous, it's a comedy bit. Same with another upcoming bit. That would have been my best bit. Right now, it's just annoying.
I don't know. It is unintentionally hilarious that he is Major Stash and not Private Stash. Because Van Hammer's like, I don't want to be the lowest rank. It's like, dude, it's a work. We're working. But yeah, it's Major Stash, Lieutenant Loco, and Corporal Cajun. And going off the fact that clearly he was meant to be Private Stash, because there's another Major now.
Yes, there's Major Guns.
Yes, who you are convinced we have never seen before.
No, this is not... I need you to go back and show me this woman. Because Nick is convinced that this is a Steiner woman.
Yes.
It is not.
It is so much a Steiner woman to the point where... Do you remember a couple weeks ago where she randomly like left the Steiner girls to like, I want to learn about like ring interviewing because it was Mean Gene with Booker T. And it
no.
was like, why the fuck are you here?
No, this did not happen. Yeah,
Tylene Buck.
Nope. You are making things up again. That segment never happened. This woman never existed. That name has never been said. None of what you just said has ever happened.
It's literally just fact.
Find it. I need you to roll the tape. What? Tylene Buck?
Yes.
Nope. Never heard that name before in my life.
I think if she was one of the Nitro girls, nice I would have known about it.
Nice try.
Sorry, she's one of the NWO girls, not the Nitro girls. Emily, are the other two women still the same?
I have conceded that they are the same women.
You don't know which one's which. Nope. But. So yeah, Major Guns. She has boobs. That's the gimmick.
And she's not American? Is that supposed to add to like the humor?
Is she not?
I thought she sounded like she was like Russian or something. I thought I heard an accent. Maybe
she might just be bad at acting.
Oh.
I don't like that when I search Major Guns, the first like autofill is Major Guns Miss Hancock. And I'm like, what stupid sexy thing do they do?
Why is that a search on your phone?
No, I'm saying like Google is like, do you mean that? By the way, her name is Tylene Dawn Buck. I am correct.
That name has never been said.
Oh, occupations. Pornography.
Good for her.
Now, will you just accept Wikipedia as like, her first line is, she had a brief career that started in late 1999 in WCW as one of the NWO girls.
One of the NWO girls is different than one of Steiner's main women.
They just
She's not a Medeja or a Shakira.
She was. She was one of the three of them.
One of the three?
There were three, and then she left. Emily, there were 1,000% three.
Yeah, right. I think if there were three, I would know. Jeff Epstein, the financier.
I don't know how many people are going to get those jokes.
No one.
No, someone will. What the fuck was I looking up? Oh, where is she from? Oh, by the way, and she's from Sacramento, California.
Oh, okay, so I'm wrong.
Oh, let's go to our first match. Right? No, second match, Jesus. It's Chronic.
Chronic.
Not listed as the tag champions coming out. They call out Shane Douglas, and Brian Adams notes that apparently Brian Clark missed the 420 flight here from Atlanta. Because Chronic, Tweed, hilarious.
So I want you to keep explaining it, because jokes are funnier when you explain them.
Shane Douglas comes out, cut the damn music. Douglas says he's coming for the title, but he's not coming alone. I'm like, yeah, it's the tag team titles. You kind of need a buddy.
Yeah, you got to come with somebody, right? It's better if you come together.
He does know that Buff Bagwell has been suspended for 30 days. Doesn't
See, this
say
is where
why.
He says it, yeah.
So he has a new partner for the time being. It's the Wall, brother.
Oh, that's the Wall, brother.
I don't know why I like knew it was going to be the Wall.
It makes sense. It makes unfortunate sense.
Maybe I'm just waiting for that best of 9 tables matches.
God.
It's one match, by the way. It's not like...
Oh, I figure. But still, 9 tables. That sounds like a lot, but it's not.
Well, it's the best of that, so you got to put him through 5.
Or 9.
Well, the match will end after 5.
I don't think so.
So the Wall brawls to start?
The Wall brawl?
Full Nelson slam to the Wall. Douglas then bails to the back and just abandons the Wall almost immediately.
Yeah, I didn't understand this.
He's just a little cowardly bitch. Well. The Wall chokeslams Brian Adams and then suplexes Brian Clark through a table at ringside. He also back body drops Adams on a table at ringside that like doesn't break. So then he awkwardly places him up because Adams did not want to go up at all.
No.
Lays him across and hits like a diving splash in the apron. It's very much a, no, you're going through this
fucking table. We're going through this table. Like, that is the spot you're going through the damn table.
Chronic finally gets it together, and they hit high times on the Wall through the announce table, which was a rough-looking spot. They then throw him back in the ring and pin him. They're given the belts, so who's champion is still a little unclear.
Yeah.
The Wall gets up and fights off medics, including chokeslamming one through another table at ringside.
Why are we fighting the paramedics?
Why were there four tables around ringside?
Great question. These are both very valid questions.
But no, it was meant to be like, I don't need your help. Rawr.
Sure, but why are you attacking them?
I don't know. Match-wise, this was whatever. I actually thought it did a decent job of, like, rehabilitating the Wall, like, as like the killer,
I guess,
kind
yeah.
of thing. I thought that, like, it succeeded in that front of, like, oh, no, the Wall looks like a badass here. He took on the tag champs 2-on-1 and put them both through tables.
Yeah. I still don't find him scary or intimidating. I'm sorry.
Yeah, we did realize he doesn't not look like Pat McAfee.
No, he looks like he could be, like, Pat McAfee's cousin or brother, maybe.
Or like Pat McAfee in a Space Jam scenario where he like absorbs all the talent. Well, except, you know.
I feel like Pat McAfee could put on a better match than the Wall.
Yeah, I was just saying, yeah, the talents are all like, you know what I mean, the basketball where they just become the monsters.
They play basketball.
Oh, so on Thunder, the Wall attacks Shane Douglas, so I guess he's a face now? I think he's alongside the Millionaires Club on that episode, too, because...
Who the fuck knows? Who the fuck cares? The New Blood, the Millionaire... I don't give a shit anymore. None of it matters. None of it's real. I don't care.
Oh, I keep bringing up bits from Thunder. That Thunder ends with the Millionaires Club tipping over a school bus that has the New Blood inside, despite
sure it
the
does.
Fact that we never see any of them, or and none of them make a noise or try to get out.
Sure.
Or, yeah.
No, it's full of the New Blood. Just trust me.
It's full of New Blood, except Chris Candido, who clearly missed a cue here because he's just walking through the frame at the start of the show. Backstage, the Disco Inferno complains to Eric Bischoff about still being with the Mamalukes, despite the fact that we haven't really... I guess we've kind of seen them, but not really.
They were in, like, a battle royal, I think?
No, they were in the four-way tag match, but
yeah,
I'm like, forgetting if Disco was out there with them.
I don't remember.
But he complains to Eric Bischoff, and Bischoff's like, do whatever you want.
I could not care less.
Ernest Miller then brings in Terry Funk. Bischoff says that he wants the hardcore title, and Funk says no way, so Miller attacks him.
Now we got a match.
Outside, Norman Smiley and Ralph have no money, so they decide they need to get jobs. And the monster truck is still here.
It looms.
Next, in the arena, the Filthy Animals, a.k.a. Conan, come out to a new theme.
Sincerely, I looked at Nick, I was like, is this a new theme?
It's also a whole new entrance gimmick, because they have a little, like, sheet that they're supposed to, like, have silhouettes and, like, pose, and Conan and Ray do that. Hoovy missed the memo on this, because he's just, like, awkwardly squirming.
This.
Yeah, they also do it on Thunder.
Okay. Was Hoovy always in the Filthy Animals?
No, not the original version, but he joined a couple weeks ago.
Okay.
He joined when they were getting killed by Kevin Nash, so it would have been easy to forget
sure.
that he joined.
Sure, okay.
Conan calls out Terry Funk and says they're going to put him out of his misery.
Put me out of my misery.
Funk makes his entrance as the cat is just like still attacking him.
So I guess I also missed this. When did the cat become Eric Bischoff's goonie?
I think we're seeing it.
Okay, this I felt like it came out of nowhere. When Disco was coming into the office with Eric talking to Kimberly, I also didn't recognize Kimberly because her hair looked different. And then Kat was there, too. I was like, what is this, like, what is this team? What is this room?
Yeah, I think they're starting to, like, feed more into the fact that Ernest Miller is teaching Eric Bischoff's son karate.
Is it like a scratch my back, scratch yours sort of scenario?
A little bit.
Yeah. Okay.
So Funk gets thrown in the ring. Ray canes Funk. Conan bonks him with a chair. And Hoovy hits a lame people's elbow on the chair on Funk.
Hoovy is lame.
Like, Ray is kind of in the way of it, too. He's like, what are you doing?
You know, I could frame a headshot of Hoovy and put it on the wall next to Scott Norton.
You could?
Good.
They keep hitting chair attacks on Funk, including a diving double leg drop with a chair from Ray. I'm like, bud, aren't you still kind of hurt?
I can't really tell. Is he still hurt? It seems like he's ready to just be back and be in the ring.
The MIA then run out and Chavo hits a running shoulder block, jumping over the top rope in a kind of a cool spot.
MIA, Misfits in Action.
Yes, sorry. Disco Inferno comes out to attack the Misfits. The Misfits in Action, because the Misfits are a totally different group.
Oh, really?
Well, remember, they were with Vampiro. Remember the band?
Oh, Jesus.
Booker T then comes out and cleans house. He hits a flapjack on Hoovy and puts Funk on top of Hoovy for the pin, because this was a match, apparently. Major Guns comes out, rips off her shirt, and gives Terry Funk CPR to bring him back to life.
Not just CPR, it's mouth to mouth.
Yes,
like, let's
sorry.
Be real of what it is. She's making out with Terry Funk to bring him back to life.
You need a new wife, Terry.
Oh, my gosh.
Do you want to guess what my note for this match is?
What the fuck? What a mess.
No. No, Booker, run away. Don't join the Misfits in action.
Oh, he will.
Yep. Oh, he has an old gimmick to go back to.
Oh, no.
Do you want to know now or do you want to wait?
I might as well wait.
Okay. I don't think he has it for long.
That's not a good sign, though.
Well, they do a little bit of another reset at some point.
Sure. You told me this isn't working?
Yeah, so Booker is now fully with the MIA, I guess.
Oh, Booker.
Backstage, Ric Flair suddenly arrives while the Goldberg Monster Truck is still here.
It's looming.
Norman Smiley and Ralphus get a job selling popcorn.
Again, in another show, this would have been my best bet.
Ric Flair storms into Eric Bischoff's office and is like, all right, Russo's gone too far now. Bischoff's like, oh, I haven't seen him. And then as soon as Flair leaves, Bischoff's like, all right, go give Russo a warning. Where is he? Oh, he's around the corner.
He was in like an RV, I think they said.
Yeah, or basically Bischoff knows exactly where he is.
Yeah. He's lying.
Yeah. So they're setting up that Vince Russo has some sort of like master plan videotape.
Yeah, so actually in the first match, I forgot to mention this, commentary did mention that at the top of the second hour, they had some footage that they were going to be showing of Ric Flair.
Roll that bean footage. Well, wait a little bit longer for that, because next up, Chris Candido and Tammy Lynn Sitch come out to the ring.
Tammy Lynn bitch.
Candido says that they're the first couple of pro wrestling. He then was like, hey, I'm going to challenge any other couple. I'll even put my cruiserweight title on the line. And I'm like,
why would you do that?
Okay, what if Lex and Liz came out? He's not a fucking cruiserweight.
Right.
Also, that's just stupid.
Yeah, that's a bad idea.
So Daphne and Crowbar accept the challenge.
Not the couple that I was thinking of because they're not a romantic couple.
Daphne does cartwheels the whole way down the ramp. Candido and Crowbar start and Miss Hancock comes out.
Why?
We get a flipping belly-to-belly from Candido and he goes up top but is stopped. Superplex from Candido and he goes up top for a diving headbutt and hits it, but Daphne stops the pin. Tammy then comes in, counters a suplex with an inside cradle on Crowbar, which you're like, that's really impressive. And I'm like,
yes,
for Crowbar.
I appreciate when men and women can wrestle each other and it doesn't look like a joke. I appreciate that.
Fair. No, but I just want to give Crowbar his proper credit there.
Crowbar deserves all the credit.
You know the thing of like Ric Flair could wrestle a broom? It's like, that's basically...
Isn't that a thing in like, maybe it was a movieism that I'm thinking of, but where they have to like punch a string and it has to like punch it so hard that it doesn't move? You know, something like that?
No, I think you're merging so many things. I don't know where to start. We get a DDT from Daphne to Candido and then a swinging neckbreaker from Tammy to Crowbar. Crowbar hits a vaulting splash back in the ring and then we get a very convoluted spot to get Tammy to baseball slide a chair into Crowbar and then a chair shot to the head. And it's so convoluted, Mark Badden's like, he was just like standing there waiting to take the punishment. I'm like, bud, shut the fuck up.
Stop saying the quiet part out loud. Yeah, it looked like he was just waiting for that hit because he was. Yeah. Shut up.
She was late. We get a double suplex to Crowbar. They all kind of trade pin attempts. Miss Hancock then suddenly has a mic and is like, I want to dance. Hit my music.
I'm so
like,
you know what the payoff for this angle, if we want to call it that, is.
Yes.
How much longer do we have?
I don't know. Do you want to guess the payoff to this angle?
I have a feeling it's going to be something sexual.
I guess maybe it is a little bit. I'm just saying she's scouting people. It's like, who does she eventually end up with?
David Flair. Yes? No!
That's the big payoff, Emily. Emily, this ends with... Somehow along the way, we're going to end up with Daphne versus Stacy, I think in like a wedding gown match.
Oh my god.
Oh yeah, spoiler, sorry, a wedding gown match.
Okay.
Now you know the road.
I just need to know how much longer we have for this, because this is such a joke. Like, not in a fun way either. This is stupid. This is a waste of her time.
Well, I think that match is at Bash the Beach, so...
The Bash of the Beach that I'm not allowed to know about?
Yeah.
Okay. So many things are going to be able to happen when I finally watch that Bash of the Beach. I'll be able to read more memoirs. I'll be able to watch fucking Dark Side of the Ring. Like, there's so many more things that I will know once you allow me to watch that Bash of the Beach.
But yeah, so Miss Hancock's going to dance and Crowbar is fucking hype. We get like a close-up of him like rocking out.
He's basically like those old-time cartoons where somebody puts a pie in the windowsill and he like floats to it. That's him too, Miss Hancock.
She just kind of stops when Candido starts attacking Crowbar. Like, oh, they're not paying attention.
Yeah.
He goes for a pile driver, but Crowbar hits a front falling suplex instead. In the ring, Daphne rolls up Tammy for the win. So, we're not really sure who the champions are because both Daphne and Crowbar are like, no, I'm the champion.
Yeah, because Daphne's not technically a tag team person, right? Was this a tag team championship?
No, this was a cruiserweight title.
Sorry, cruiserweight. There is no women's cruiserweight championship, so she can't really win it, but she did the winning maneuver, so she should win it.
Medusa was cruiserweight champion.
Was she?
Yeah, she beat Evan Craig.
I thought she was just a women's champion.
No, she was a cruiserweight champion. Remember? Because she lost it to Oklahoma.
Sure. Yeah. I just don't understand the Stacey bit, because like...
No, I don't either.
She did her little distraction dance move, and like... It worked for 0.02 seconds, and then the men just, like, turned on each other again, and were like, ah, oh, fuck you, fight, yeah, fight.
I don't even know what...
Why?
Yeah, I don't know, but apparently they're co-champions, but, like, Daphne has the belt in the next segment, so...
I don't know.
I think she's doing this later for clarity, but this brings out Ric Flair to come attack Crowbar, and then he grabs a mic to call out Vince Russo, and Rick tells Russo to get his New York ass out here, a line he'll say like two or three times.
Just to make sure you heard it.
We then see Russo in the truck demanding that a clip be played when he says so, and Ric Flair's like, nah, I don't want the clip played.
Well, too bad. We're going to play it, so...
In probably our most random bit of the night, which is saying something for a show that has a monster truck with a wrestler potentially inside.
Potentially.
Backstage, Sting just kind of finds his car on fire.
This never really comes back.
And
it's like cut to while people are talking in the ring, too. Like, it doesn't get its own audio. Like, it just kind of happens.
Yeah. Sting has the wonderful reaction of just hands on the hips.
Like, a very subtle head shake, hands on the hips. Like, well, I guess this is it now. Like, why?
Someone on commentary has the line, oh, I think a vampiromaniac was here.
See, that's a good joke. That's a funny joke.
And then we just go back to Ric Flair in the ring yelling for Russo to come out. But instead, we get an infamous clip.
Is this infamous?
I mean, I think because Charlotte's in it, I think now it is.
Ashley.
We get David Flair, Daphne, and Vince Russo exploring Ric Flair's house.
Yeah, so this is supposed to be played up as David showing Vince and, I guess, Daphne... what he was raised in versus what his siblings were raised in. He was trying to pull it off as like almost a Cinderella thing where his step-siblings get treated better than he does.
Yeah.
And, you know, Reed is a champion and gets all of his father's love and whatever. And David has to sleep in the basement in like this unfinished basement on a blanket on the floor, which like, no the fuck he doesn't.
You know, I didn't think about the Cinderella thing, but you're 1,000% right.
Oh, yeah. That was the first thing I thought.
Bippity boppity bro.
Shut the fuck up.
So Russo insults Flair's family, the demon child, Ashley.
Okay, the other thing that confused me, we walked into the Flair's house, and they're talking about the other children or whatever, the demon children, whatever. There's a massive family portrait above the fireplace, but David's not in it.
I think it just might be because, one, he's an adult at this point, and
I
two,
guess, yeah.
I mean, you know, it's, I don't know, as someone who, as two people whose parents are both still married, I don't think we fully understand.
We don't understand divorced parents, yeah. You're right.
But, did you catch the line for Reed?
His name's Champ.
Well, no, before that. I know what he's going for, but he doesn't get all... Russo doesn't get all the way there with the joke. This Philadelphia Dutch kid, Reed. He's saying he looks Amish.
That's, oh, because of the bull haircut?
Yeah, but, sure. Like, that's not Philly.
Yeah, that's Pennsylvania.
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't even catch that. Yeah. Oh, I wish I had. I would have laughed at that.
So they're going around the house. They go to Space Mountain, a.k.a. the bedroom, which... I thought his penis was Space Mountain.
You have to ride Space Mountain. So yeah, that would be his penis.
Yeah, he's not bringing every woman back home to his own bed.
But in order to ride Space Mountain, you have to get in the car, and the bed could be the car that you take to ride Space Mountain.
All right, no. All right, I'm getting there. All right, baby, we're going to have sex. We just got to drive 17 hours back to my house. Woo! For some reason, Russo's like, I've always wanted to do this, and jumps in the bed. I'm like, what?
Yeah, why do you want to jump in Ric Flair's bed? That's like a little kinky, I don't know.
Russo then puts on one of Rick's robes, and then they go to Reed's room. Sorry, Champ's room.
Champ's room, please.
This kid has a fuck ton of trophies. Like,
they're all participation trophies. I had that many trophies when I was a kid. You know what I played? Soccer. You know what I wasn't good at? Soccer.
Both of us got a kick out of Vince Russo stealing some of the medals.
Oh my god, yeah.
It's like it's a fucking 12-year-old, and he's like, ah... Just nick that.
I'll take that. Yeah, I was going through like my memory box recently. I have so many ribbons from swim team, like swim meets, because we didn't do medals unless you were at state. So we just got these ribbons, and I kept them all for some stupid reason. They're all like 5th place, 7th place, best time.
Wow, you're pretty shit.
I was bad. I wasn't good. I went to States for backstroke once.
They then go into David's room, which is an unfinished basement. Russo tells David that he loves him, and then they hug. And on their way out, we get the family returning, and Charlotte is having none of this.
To the point where she, like, almost starts laughing.
As a teenage girl, she's just like, eh.
Why are we doing this?
She saw Vince Russo and immediately got the ick.
Can you blame her? But yeah, it kind of puts into perspective how old these kids are. Because, like, the way that David and Vince are talking about it is, like, they're also adults, and they're, like, you know, vying for their father's attention as adults. Reed is, like, 12. Charlotte is like 14. They're children. They get the parents' love right now because they need it because they're still forming their lives.
Yeah.
David is a full-ass adult.
He has a WCW contract.
He's sleeping with Stacy Keibler. He's doing fine.
Yeah, I think Charlotte debuts in like 2013 in NXT. So, yeah, she's got a while.
Wow, I didn't think it was that late.
Yeah, so that's Charlotte's big WCW debut, ignoring that we're pretty sure she was on a show, like, in 99. I remember we, like, I think that's her.
Was it, like, a crowd shot?
It was him coming in with, like, the whole family. But okay, he has two daughters, so he we're does. Like, yeah, one looked kind of like her, but I don't know. Then in the arena, we get David Flair and Daphne coming out. Daphne is wearing the Cruiserweight title and the NWA and WCW titles from last week. David calls Russo his dad, and then Rick tells David to come to the ring. Rick says that tonight David is going to grow up. Says that he saw David humiliate his uncle Arn Anderson on Thunder. Rare Arn Anderson match. As in, he can't take bumps legally, so.
Oh, okay.
And there is a promo here. I don't think either of us got a lot of it because of Daphne. The camera shot they choose to do is a very close face-to-face of Rick and David. And right in the center of the fucking frame is Daphne just making faces.
She's just having
and
a good time.
She's so good that they're like, I can't look away. I can't listen.
And that's the entirety of the promo. I didn't hear 90% of it because I was just watching Daphne.
Rick does claim his world title match that he won for the Great American Bash. Like, all right, I'm going to do that tonight. Because then he calls David an asshole and says he doesn't want to do the family drama in public. Rick then tells David to go pick his favorite pair of Ric Flair wrestling boots. Because David is going to face Ric Flair, not his dad. It's like, no, you're facing the competitor Ric Flair.
Not your father.
AKA, this is Phil Brooks talking to Paul Levesque. But David actually gets a little bit fired up here. Like, oh my God, there's life.
There's something there, but I'm not watching him. I'm watching Daphne.
Yeah,
Daphne's the absolute pinnacle of this whole thing.
Yeah, because David kind of turns around and like, no, you are facing your son. Like, fuck you. I'm your son. When we fight, you're fighting your son. Rick then throws in, if I lose, I will retire.
No, you won't. And that's not even a spoiler.
He needs shoulder surgery. That's why they're writing that in.
Oh, so he does. Spoiler, he loses.
Probably.
Okay.
Who the fuck knows? He might. For all we know, he's going to fucking win and then randomly disappear anyway.
It doesn't matter because even if he retires, he'll be back in 3 months. Yeah. If that.
For Rick. So at the Great American Bash, Emily, it'll be Ric Flair's last match.
Do you think he'll legally die again?
Yeah, I was going to say. I don't think we've really talked about that since that came out.
I thought we mentioned it maybe on Patreon.
Yeah.
Yeah, he legally freaking died.
Well, no, he didn't legally die. It was his doctor going, hey, it seems like your body is showing that you've had a heart attack recently. When do you think that was? And it's like, have you blacked out? Yeah, during my match. Okay, it was probably then. It's not confirmed to be then, but, like, medically,
come
it's
on.
Probably then.
Yeah. He said in that match, he said that he passed out, like, 3 times. He's like, oh, I just thought I was dehydrated. No.
Yeah.
Your heart was
well,
literally
giving
out. He
had also been, like, drinking all day beforehand.
Oh, yeah.
But don't forget, he faked a heart attack in the match.
Oh, I did forget that.
Yeah.
I did forget that.
Was it a work or was it a shoot?
Imagine being Andrade and hearing that of like, oh, I actually gave my father-in-law a heart attack. Like,
Andrade was his partner. He faced Jeff Jarrett.
Jeff Jarrett.
And Jay Lethal.
Yes. Still.
Which, God, that's a fucking weird match tonight.
Mm-hmm. It was weird.
Well, speaking of Jeff Jarrett.
Come on, slap ass.
Come on, slap heart. So in the ring, a random NPC... Oh, wait, sorry. No, that's actually World Heavyweight Champion Jeff Jarrett. Sorry, he's just so unimportant.
Oh,
I can't tell
God.
Anymore. He comes out and hits a guitar shot on Flair and then locks in the figure four as David hits punches.
Did Jarrett hit Flair with the guitar in the 2022 match?
I don't think he did it in the match. He did it in the build, I want to say.
Jesus.
I'm pretty sure.
I remember watching that match because I remember where we were and I remember how we watched it. It was fucking weird because like my dad wanted to watch it with us and we had to explain a lot to him. We're both like, can we just watch this real quick?
It's like, we can't let you see this like this.
Dad, no.
Yeah, I think they did in the build. The problem is I'm thinking of what WWE did where they had Randy Orton punt Ric Flair. But what they did, it was because it was during the pandemic era.
Yeah, yeah.
They literally cut the lights out as he hit the punt. That way, he didn't have to actually kick Ric Flair in the fucking head.
God, pandemic era wrestling was just weird.
Honestly, you know what I feel the worst for about that? It's Sasha Banks and Bayley. Because they put on some fucking bangers that no one's ever going to rewatch.
I'll rewatch them.
Yeah, I mean, I think they at least have crowd noise for them, so it's a little better.
It's amazing how much more palatable those matches became when they piped in the crowd noise.
Yeah.
It's weird, but it really helps.
Backstage, Vince Russo wants something fixed tonight and then says it's time for tough love for Liz. And the line of the night from Tony Schiavone, what is going on here, fans? Tony, you're supposed to know, man.
Hey, what's up, you guys? It gave off very, like, YouTuber. Like, what is going on, friends? Why don't you like and subscribe? Smash that subscribe button.
I was thinking more, it's like, you go to therapy and your therapist's like, I'm struggling, bro. It's like, no, you're supposed to be the one who's okay. You're supposed to know. Dude, you're a burrito expert. You should have told me.
Oh, my God. You gotta tell me when there's too much in the burrito.
We then see that there is a new WCW.com Nitro pre-show called Reload.
Yeah. How far does this go?
No one fucking knows. All the WCW.com stuff, like, some people have managed to archive. I know, like, Guy Evans, who wrote the Nitro book, has a lot of this stuff. Because if you buy certain tiers of the book, you'll get either, like, formats or the WCW.com recordings.
I'd like a format.
I might even pay money just for the whole library of the WCW.com interviews. Because like, how many of those did we get back in the day that were just like, all right, well, here's 6 seconds of this, and here's Chris Jericho next to some dogs. I don't know, man. We then get Vince Russo, Liz, and Chuck Palumbo.
Who are you, Chuck Palumbo?
With some security coming down to the ring, surrounded by a cage. Russo says that he's from New York.
What?
And there's always
a plan. This is brand new information. I didn't know he was from New York.
Russo says that Liz has been humiliating him, but tonight she's in a House of Pain match. Your opponent is Medusa.
They are really getting their money's worth out of this cage.
I thought you were saying Medusa.
No, they are not utilizing Medusa properly, but this cage.
I was really ready for Mona to show up here and me to, you know, have to eat my shoe a little bit, but no.
Eat my shorts.
Medusa comes out to the ring in like 4-inch heels and then takes them off, and I'm like, okay. She was kind of looking Charlotte-esque tonight, weirdly enough. Like, just the amount of curl in the hair, I'm like, it was a very Charlotte look.
I can see that. I mean, she has the same shade of blonde. She's very busty. She comes out, like, kind of bejeweled and done up. Like, Charlotte takes that to more of an athletic way, but, like, Medusa and Charlotte definitely have some similarities.
You know what? Charlotte just kept watching back the Nitro she was on and was like, I'll take that.
The Wikipedia says that her first WCW appearance was in 93.
Oh,
so that's before our time.
Yeah, I wouldn't shock me. Oh, it should be noted, as they're coming out, there is somebody on top of the cage who's been like, who's like there to repair the hole.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So
I think I missed that.
Yeah, the hole that Sting knocked in it earlier, it's just kind of hanging down. So there is someone there who is supposed to be repairing it.
Okay, sure.
Because Russo notes that security is around the cage and the main event, Chuck Palumbo, is guarding the door.
That's the most confusing thing. Like, his name is Main Event Chuck Palumbo?
Yeah. Oh, the main event, as in, like, the total package.
But we've barely seen him in the ring. How can he be the main event if he's never had a match?
I don't think he's wrestled a match yet. So Russo berates Liz, but the maintenance guy suddenly drops in the ring and is revealed to be Swerve. Lex Luger.
Wow. Lex Luger wearing a one piece and a mustache? How could he have ever gotten past security?
Luger drops into the cage. Medusa attacks Lex, so he puts her in the torture rack.
Yes. Okay. I actually did kind of like that.
Russo low blows Lex, but he's wearing a cup. Liz low blows Russo and then puts Lex's cup on Russo's face. Security finally gets the door open and Lex fights them off until he's maced. And then security and Palumbo beat Lex down. Palumbo keeps using the muscle flexor weapon as like this like lead pipe shot.
Yeah.
Oh, I keep going back to Thunder. Arn Anderson showed up with a lead, a quote unquote, a lead pipe. It just looked like a tree branch. I'm like, what the fuck is this?
That's weird. No tire Arn.
No, I was upset.
No Glock Arn.
It would have been a very different angle. Well. So Luger is down. The Wolfpack music hits and Kevin Nash hits the ring. Kevin Nash then beats down like all 10 members of security as Russo, Liz, and Palumbo bail. Nash then looms over Medusa and is like, gonna power bomb her. And then Mike Awesome makes the save. What a heel. Lex finally gets up and has bolt cutters. And Mike Awesome's like, okay, I will leave. And they're like, what a coward. I'm like,
No, he did the right thing.
So he saved a woman and then left when someone tried to use bolt cutters on him.
Uh-huh.
Got it.
Wow, what a fucking chicken shit coward. No.
Nash then grabs a mic and challenges Eddie Money to an ambulance match tonight. Which I guess is just a mullet joke.
I didn't get that. Who is Eddie Money?
Eddie Money sings Take Me Home Tonight. That's his big hit. But I think it's just a mullet joke. It's very 80s.
Sure.
But he challenges Eddie Money to an ambulance match tonight. Awesome agrees and says he'll end Nash's career. They are kind of doing a thing with Mike Awesome where it's like the career killer.
Is it working though?
They're basing this off Canyon.
I miss Canyon.
Again, he's back in a month.
Who better?
Apparently Mike Awesome.
No. Not in my heart.
Nash then starts the rest of his story in the year 2000 by quoting Scott Hall, because basically his goal for the rest of the year is, what if Scott Hall came back?
And but he says, don't sing it, bring it.
So we have that match in just a little bit. I don't know why we're not just doing that now in hindsight, because there's like two segments in between.
I do like this catchphrase from Scott Hall significantly better than, I'm the one who looks like Elvis.
I don't know, that's pretty good.
No.
TNA is going great. It's not at all like WCW.
No, it's totally different.
Oh, man. Maybe Destination X will be good.
We'll see. I hope so.
Backstage, Mean Gene is here to interview Scott Steiner, who's apparently late, and then Steiner immediately shows up and goes, I'm not late. I guess he's not.
I guess you're not late. He's
this
here.
This is your interview time. And
yeah, you made it right on time.
Steiner says that, I don't care what plans they had for me. I'm not wrestling tonight. Instead, he's going to be out in the alley waiting for his brother and Tank Abbott, because wrestling has too many rules.
So, let me get this straight.
You're not, but go on.
Wrestling has too many rules. You're wrestling in the company where the new runners of, what do we call them, owners, presidents, directors?
The powers that be.
Whatever. They have famously said that the referees have been told to be more lax on the rules. But now there's still too many rules. What do you want to do, Scott?
Then I pull out the Glock.
Oh my god. Honestly, pitch it to Russo, he might be down for it.
There's no rules in the Shoneys, Emily.
Not in the Shoneys that I've been through. Fucking love a Shoneys.
In the arena, Norman and Ralphus are selling popcorn. And then we get a shot of WCW Magazine. I don't know what they were going for here. But it's just a photo on the cover of Jeff Jarrett shirtless. And it just, the main line is, all the stroke.
It's like, you're telling me that that's not Playboy. Come, or Playgirl, I guess. But like, come on. You know what you're doing.
I was ready for them to be like, oh, there's a centerfold.
My angel is the centerfold.
We then see Rick Steiner and Tank Abbott. They're headed outside to fight Scott Steiner. The Steiner girls try to attack Rick to very little effect.
But not major guns.
No, just Shakira and Madesha. So Rick and Tank then beat down Scott Steiner. And then they are stopped, we'll say.
Sure.
By Goldberg's monster truck just running over some cars. Why? Who's to say?
Doesn't really matter. Why do you ask so many questions?
But this is enough to stop the beatdown. Like, oh, we gotta go.
Look at this fucking monster truck. Here it comes. This truck means business. We better get inside where we can't get us.
The truck is in the arena on Thunder.
Shh. We don't know that at this point. We don't know that the truck has opposable thumbs to open doors. We don't know that yet.
But, like, the weight of this truck, it's so light that it doesn't even, like, run over the cars. It just, like, bounces over them.
Yes. I think we've mentioned this before in other, like, other monster truck segments. Like, what a fucking sentence that is. Where they don't actually seem like they are running over cars. They're just kind of, like, gliding atop cars.
Because didn't Goldberg drive a monster truck, like, over Sid's car?
I think I'm remembering that, too. Yeah, but it didn't actually do that much damage, if you remember. It didn't crush it.
Yes, because the 22 thing is...
22!
The car leaves and comes back.
Goldberg!
We get Kevin Nash backing an ambulance into the arena, and I'm like,
why?
Why? But he's backing it in for Mike Awesome versus Kevin Nash in ambulance match. While during the entrances, Mark Madden, fucking douchebag he is. 2 weeks ago, I said that Bruno Sammartino was dead. He's not. I apologize. Fuck you.
Yeah, you should apologize. You were wrong.
Well, apparently Bruno wanted to, like, sue the network. I don't know on what fucking grounds, but...
Defamation?
Is that technically negative?
I mean, it would keep him from getting, like... work? Like, if people think that he's dead, they're not going to book him for anything.
He's not getting booked.
I don't know. I'm trying to think.
He fucking hates wrestling.
I'm trying to think of a way that it would, like, take money away from him.
Yeah, but.
Because that would be the case for the lawsuit.
Yeah, it's one of the least believable. It wasn't even like a, I'm sorry you're upset. It's even somehow a step below that.
It's like, I'm sorry that you're mad at me. I'm
sorry you're alive. So, Kevin Nash backs the ambulance into the arena as the crew scrambles to help because. He is not trained for this.
It's not going well. There's one guy that, like, jumps on the hood to get a cable off the top of the ambulance. Yeah.
If anything, he would have been better off, like, opening the back of the ambulance and, like, looking that way.
Yes.
Match starts. They brawl in the ring and then immediately, like, go to the corner. Awesome lands a jumping clothesline and grabs a chair. Nash stops the chair shot for a few fairly... I want to give him credit here because it's safe shots on Mike Awesome. Not like they look really weak. It's like, no. It's across the back. Like, he is doing the 2024 chair shot thing.
Okay. I'll take that.
Yeah, because I found it interesting that he was very much taking care of Mike Awesome safely here.
Interesting. Remember that. Put a pin in that.
They then head up the ramp towards the ambulance. Nash hits like 4 low blows in a row.
Just making sure that one of them lands, I guess.
They then throw each other around the set. Awesome then sets up a table near the ambulance at ringside and, like, really struggles with it. He comes back to Nash, but DDP is suddenly here. It's a surprise diamond cutter. DDP then tells Nash about the table, and Nash goes to powerbomb Mike Awesome through the table. He gets him a quarter of the way up. Is that even too much?
Barely a quarter.
And, like, that kind of seems like that's going to be it. DDP has to be like, okay, we got to help him further up.
Yeah.
And they get maybe halfway and Nash, like, we're going. Like, what?
DDP, the consummate professional, recognizes that Nash is like, oh, we're going. DDP falls with Mike Awesome.
Yeah.
To make sure that, and, like, is holding his neck the whole time to make sure that he does not absolutely destroy himself.
Yeah.
Like, fucking professional.
Fuck Kevin Nash.
Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, I've seen so many clips of him fucking up powerbombs and just not giving a shit.
It's so weird that he keeps fucking up powerbombs because that's, like, his big move, right? He big guy do powerbomb.
That's why I kind of laughed at the whole fucking Sid versus Kevin Nash, who has the better powerbomb. I'm like, the guy who could actually fucking do one.
Yeah, is that really a competition?
Because also Kevin Nash is just like, oh, I just drop you on the way down. Like, fuck off.
No, he doesn't follow through. He ain't got no follow through. Yeah, good guy DDP, fuck you Kevin Nash.
Nash and DDP then just leave? And Charles Robbins like, okay, well, Kevin Nash wins.
Look at these lax rules. Somebody tell Scott Steiner.
Like, why even have me in an ambulance match?
He was like 10 feet away from the ambulance too.
Yeah.
Why couldn't you just finish it? Pick him up. Chuck him in the ambulance. Be done with it. It was right there.
Yeah, I don't know.
Guys. Kevin went through all that trouble to back the ambulance into the arena, and then it was like for naught.
Yep, that's it.
Jesus.
Backstage, Eric Bischoff says he has to do something himself. And we get Hulk Hogan arriving. Elsewhere backstage, Norman Smiley and Ralphus talk about how much money they made, and then Ralphus puts his hand in his ass, and then goes back into the popcorn cart, so they get fired by Discount John Mulaney.
For contaminating the popcorn with Ralphus's ass.
Yeah.
Valid, but yeah, Discount John Mulaney.
Then you get Eric Bischoff, Kimberly, and the cat coming out to the ring.
What a trio.
As Mark Madden is, like, spitting out his popcorn, like, oh, I can't believe I ate that.
But, like, you watch him put his hand in his ass after.
Well, you don't know they didn't do it before.
I don't know.
Kimberly doing her best Stephanie McMahon cosplay.
Yeah, this is the moment that I realized it was Kimberly. In the segment before where I said, like, oh, yeah, Eric the cat and Kimberly, whatever. I could not tell that that was Kimberly. Her hair is like curlier. It's pulled up.
I think that's crimped. I think that's
maybe
the word
it is
for
crimped.
It.
Yeah.
Eric Bischoff says he loves the people and he knows they love him too. Bischoff says when you want to get something done, you have to do it yourself. But he's getting bored with DDP and challenges DDP to a match. Like, okay.
So I guess not that bored.
Also, DDP, you're going to need backup.
Okay. You're going to tell the wrestler that he needs backup when you, the non-wrestler, the famously bad non-wrestler, doesn't need backup?
Yeah. DDP sure. comes out, calls the cat a pussy.
That was funny.
And then, actually, the line I liked is, backup or you need to call your mama. DDP then fights with the cat and Eric Bischoff, Uranagi to Miller, and he chases Bischoff. It's kind of a little bit of the basic story of this quote-unquote match of just... He keeps fighting off both men and then going after Bischoff, and Kimberly comes in and hits such a weak chair shot. It kills the crowd. It is silent.
Yeah, like bizarre. We've never heard anything like that before. We had to back it up. Like, did the crowd actually go silent?
Yeah, it wasn't even, it was not a single boo. It was just, oh wow. That? Yeah.
Okay.
And then suddenly,
and without warning,
it's Sid Vicious.
Why? Where the hell did you come from?
Like, the theme hit, and I went, who's music?
I know that Sid? Theme. I guess softball season's over.
Well, I think there was a rain out. Sid comes out, and then he wants the tag?
This is not a tag match.
No. Swerve, he chokeslams DDP.
So this is where R-Truth figured it out. Go for the hot tag in a not tag match, and the people will love it.
Apparently in The Observer, Dave Meltzer joked, it's like, I hear next week they're going to have DDP's mom turn on him.
Oh my God.
It keeps happening.
Yeah.
He's the Rey Mysterio of his time.
Oh. Oh God, he's going to have an eye for an eye match, isn't he?
Oh no. We then get Hulk Hogan's music hitting, and Emily, would you believe it? He fights off everyone.
Of course he does. He's a hero. He's the hero that we didn't know we needed.
Eric Bischoff then grabs a mic and books Hulk Hogan in an upcoming match. And it's very unclear what that match is at this point. And then we go backstage and Eric Bischoff and Kidman try to appeal to Horace Hogan heading out to the ring. And then we get Eric Bischoff and Kidman coming out to the ring with Horace kind of following.
Yeah, what the fuck?
And Eric Bischoff's like, hey, it's going to be Hogan versus Hogan. Horace isn't sold about this.
Yeah.
And then the commentary's like, oh, it's a three-way dance. Kidman's in the match. I'm like, what?
What? Oh my God, can we all just like stop and take a breath for a second and figure our shit out and then tell us what the match is?
So it's Billy Kidman versus Hulk Hogan versus Horace Hogan. And by that, I mean, it's just Hulk Hogan beating the shit out of Billy Kidman.
Yep. Horace just looks on.
I wrote, we get Hogan chance, but for which one?
We'll never know, brother.
Hulk and Kidman go to the ramp and Hulk whips Kidman with his belt. Eric Bischoff is on commentary and accurately points out this should be a disqualification.
But the refs are chill now.
He's the one running the show.
The refs are chill.
They also do a thing in this match on commentary where Eric Bischoff keeps telling commentary to shut up when they talk. And then he's like, God, why aren't you guys talking?
This isn't even the worst match for the commentary moments, though.
Hulk keeps beating down Kidman, including a, oh no, boy's going to school.
He's going to school, but...
Hulk confronts Eric Bischoff and throws a show format into the crowd.
I'm like fully into the crowd. Oh, somebody grabs that.
The Filthy Animals, including Disco Inferno, come out to save Billy Kidman.
Big ol' air quotes.
Horace and Hulk then clear the ring until Tori Wilson comes out. Tori and Horace share a little look, and Horace blasts Hulk with a chair and pins him, despite the fact that Hulk's shoulder is very clearly up.
Very clearly up. What's going on with Horace and Tori?
Oh, no.
Oh, my God. Their couple name is Hori.
So Horace has joined the new blood, I guess, as they all celebrate.
Yay.
Horace and Tori go to leave together. Kidman's upset. And Bischoff's like, nah,
just let it go. It's fine.
It's fine.
Billy has every right to be upset by this.
Yes.
That's his girl.
I am continually worried about Viagra on a pole being soon.
Let's go.
That said, on Thunder, Hulk Hogan pitched a match to Billy Kidman, which was strange. It's like, cool, it's me and you at the Great American Bash, and if I win, I get a world title shot. Like, what?
What?
Yeah. And Kidman's like, yeah, sure.
Oh, he agreed to something the way that I agree to things.
Yeah.
What's in it for me? Nothing.
My next note is, fucking Vince Russo is here with David Flair. Like, what was this for? Oh, yeah, that is joint commentary for the main event.
Unfortunately.
We get Kevin Nash looking on. And it's time for our main event. It is Ric Flair versus
Jeff Jerret. You wouldn't know him. Sorry, he's brand new. Yeah. Sorry, he's a French...
local talent, Jeff Jerret. Yeah,
Jeff Jerret.
For the WCW title.
Up and coming. Might be a big guy someday. We don't know.
Rick and Jeff Jarrett brawl on the ramp. Rick is in street clothes for this match. I guess should be noted. Just like black pants, black t-shirt. Rick chops Jarrett around ringside and rips off Mark Madden's headset for really no reason, but MVP. I loved it. Rick goes to grab a padded chair and they kind of like don't use it. So he goes to grab an actual chair at ringside, and this woman sees this and like grabs a chair and like hands it to Rick.
Yeah,
and
I'm just
like,
some random woman in the audience is like, "I got you."
Loved it.
What a lady.
Jarrett crotches Flair on the middle rope, getting in the ring, and we get a Flair turnbuckle spot as Russo reminds us, "I'm from New York, bro."
I really keep thinking that he's from South Carolina.
Jeff Jarrett hits a few chair shots to the gut and then suplexes Flair onto the floor. Jarrett locks in the figure four for a little while, but then ends up working him over in the corner. Commentary is insufferable in this match.
So we both kind of agreed throughout this whole match that this could have been a great match, but because of commentary, it will never get past a, like, 6 out of 10.
I think we'll go a step further. Like, yeah, this probably is a good match. But
probably.
Yeah, commentary just is distracting.
This is a great match to watch on mute.
We get a low blow to Jeff Jarrett and then some chops. We get another Flair turnbuckle spot, but he gets caught going up top and is thrown off the top rope. Very suddenly, we get an inside cradle, and Ric Flair pins Jeff Jarrett to win his 15th world title.
Quickly.
Apparently, commentary wasn't even told about this, which kind of sells the, like, shock.
So they didn't even know the finish was coming. That, I guess, makes sense. That tracks.
Jeff Jarrett, Russo, and David Flair immediately get in the ring and beat down Rick, so it's like you don't even have the moment of him winning the title. Russo goes to leave with the belt, but the Wolfpack music hits, and Kevin Nash comes down to the ring, takes the belt from Russo, hits Jeff Jarrett with the belt, and powerbombs him through part of the ring in a really weak-looking spot.
Yeah.
Because, again, he doesn't do any downward force, so it just, I dropped him and the ring broke.
Yeah, like, there's no follow-through. There's no power behind anything that he's doing, so this is not believable.
Nash then gives Rick his belt once he gets to his feet and raises his arm and then does a little suck it to Jeff Jarrett. Backstage, Eric Bischoff and Russo are going to miss Thunder, so Shane Douglas is put in charge of it.
What a hero.
And that's the show. Thoughts on the main event?
Do I have thoughts? I don't know if I have thoughts on the main event.
I mean, Flair's the champion.
Like, it was such a flat moment, though. Like, yeah. It was surprising. It was a bad match to watch and listen to. Like, I will never go back and rewatch this match. And, like, we didn't really have a moment to appreciate that Flair won. So,
yeah, he cuts kind of a bad promo on Thunder, too. It's weird.
Really.
And then, additionally, of how unimportant Jeff Jarrett is. Jeff Jarrett wants his rematch, but the way they do this is that they do basically the whole opening segment and Shane Douglas is booking stuff and, like, they're about to, like, do this whole big brawl, and Jeff Jarrett's like, "Now, wait a second, I want my title match. Where's Ric Flair?" Ric Flair just comes out, hits him with the belt, and that's kind of it. I'm like, oh my God, dude.
God, okay, great. This show's going so well.
Yeah, so I think I stand by this is a bad Nitro, but it's a watchable Nitro.
Somehow, yeah, it is watchable. It had some moments that were, like, interesting. Like, the Flair footage I thought was kind of cool.
Yeah, I think there's nothing all that horrendous on this show, which helps.
Right. And it's also, like, not offensive.
Yeah. But, I mean, they're in the middle of a 5-week build to pay-per-view, so I think them not trying a super amount here, which is funny to say with a WCW title change, but, like, okay, yeah, we don't need to cram as much.
Right.
We'll see how that holds.
That's not going to continue to be true. We know this.
Next up, we do have a Nitro, and then after that is the Thunder.
Ooh.
But before we go too far, it's time for Best Bit, Worst Bit, and MVP. We got to do it. What is your best bit?
I really struggled with a best bit. I got an MVP pretty quickly, and I got a worst bit pretty quickly. But the best bit, I guess I'll give it to the Flair footage because it was different and it was fun to watch. Kind of took us out of the world for a second and into a third location, basically. Yeah, I'll give it to that. I'll give it to the Flair footage.
I think I'm going to randomly give mine to Candido and Tammy versus Daphne and Crowbar. I think that's, like, the best match on the night.
I had a hard
time
giving it.
It's a bit of fun.
Yeah, I had a hard time giving it to any wrestling, though, because none of the matches were really worthy. Yeah, they weren't worthy.
There's nothing offensive. There's nothing really great on this show. So, do you have a worst bit?
It's Kevin Nash's powerbomb.
Yeah, same thing. Yeah, him trying to powerbomb Mike Awesome.
Yeah, and, if we want to call that a powerbomb.
Yeah, that's
clearly. Kevin Nash's pickup drop.
And then, Emily, who is your MVP?
So you would think after that the MVP would be DDP. You'd be incorrect.
I think he gets an honorable mention from both of us.
The MVP is Daphne. Obviously. For obvious reasons, the MVP is Daphne. I don't feel like I need to explain.
You're going to hate mine. I think it's for the guy who managed to show back up and still have some aura. I give it to the wall.
I really, first, like, it, with that reasoning, I thought you were going to give it to fucking Goldberg.
The monster truck, yeah. Brother. No, I think as somebody who was getting lost in the shuffle, he managed to shine a little bit here. And, you know, I think he earned himself some more TV time with the thing here. I mean, he's also being put in a good spot to succeed. But I think, look, he's not going to be Denzel, but he can be Denzel's friend.
He's not going to be Pat McAfee, but he can be Pat McAfee's brother.
He can be his brother.
Brother.
Be his dead brother, son, brother.
Oh my God, his dead brother, son, brother, friend. Brother dude, brother Jack.
Okay, before we lose our minds too much, let's wind this down. That's going to do it for the May 15th, 2000 WWE Nitro. Next up is a week from now. What's up, the 22nd?
Sure. Yeah. The next Nitro.
The next Nitro. If you want to listen to all the previous Nitros, you can. Everywhere podcasts are found except for SoundCloud. Plus, we're now on YouTube.
Hell yeah!
We're in the YouTube podcast. I don't know if it uploads as regular videos or what, but
we don't know.
If you have YouTube Premium, because admittedly, we're going to get demonetized for a lot of the music we use, and that's fine. But if you want to help the monetization of this podcast, we do have a Patreon.
We sure do.
I think it's 14 episodes over there at this point. We are now starting Hogan Knows Best. We're about to do Destination X as part of the new Monday Night Wars. And we got a handful of other plethora of content over there. Patreon.com/buttsintheseats. $5 a month gets you all those episodes. And then we do the $50 tier if you want to make us actually review something of your choice.
Yeah.
Plus, you know, social media, all that game. At Butts in the Pod, Butts in the Seats Podcast, Facebook, yada yada. You know the drill.
You've been here before.
Hopefully. If not, welcome.
Welcome.
Emily, any closing thoughts before we head on out of here?
No.
Are you ready for the Great American Bash?
No.
It's in Baltimore.
Good for them.
Ugh, but we got a long road before we get there, so buckle up. But on that road, I'm Nick.
I am Emily.
And thanks for listening to the Butts in the Seats podcast.
Bye.